What are some of the indications or that you're getting as we learn about the makeup of the committee? We have a full list of the people that have been chosen so far on federalnewsradio.com. But what is your sense as you see the people who are going to be on the list? Do you feel confident or maybe less confident about whether we're going to know a lot about how these negotiations take place?
So it's not giving us a whole lot of sense new based on who's been appointed to the committee. I mean, in the last few days, Speaker Pelosi came out in support of the committee, or the super committee, so-called super committee, having open meetings. And Speaker Boehner's spokesman, or one of his spokespeople, said that he said to his caucus that he preferred an open process. So that's some sounds we're hearing that it'll at least have open meetings. But we don't know a whole lot based on who's been appointed yet.
Why is that so critical in your view that the negotiations take place in a transparent way?
The Sunlight Foundation has come out with a number of recommendations for how open it should be, but the one that we're focused on at the moment is whether or not the super committee even has open meetings in the first place. And what we realized is because it's a joint committee and because the chamber's rules and the House and the Senate aren't very clear on this point, we don't even know whether the meetings will be public. And that's important because this committee has so much power. Whatever they send to the House and Senate goes directly to an up or down vote, and if their recommendations aren't adopted, then the trigger goes off, and then much bigger politically unpalatable cuts come down the pike. So this committee has a lot more power than an average committee or even a conference committee.
What does that in and of itself say for the transparency process, if anything?
Well, it says that up to the very last minute when the debt ceiling bill was being negotiated and was finally passed, they weren't worried about creating an accountable process. It was all about the negotiations, the deal, and the power sharing agreement that was them kicking the can down the road with the debt ceiling bill. So no one was thinking about what this committee would look like, how it would operate. It was really just, does it give both leaders enough to sign off on it and get enough votes to pass the bill? So we've seen leadership have to move on very quickly to thinking through who's going to be on it. Do members even want to be on this? And is the public going to accept what they recommend?
You know, that was the thing that I wondered about when we first started to learn about this was if you're Senator Reid, Senator McConnell, Speaker Boehner, Leader Pelosi, how do you talk somebody into being willing to go and didn't do this in the first place?
Right. It's a really tough decision. It was really interesting to see who they were going to choose because they could go after leaders within the party or rising stars or people who need some attention because they're in a close reelection battle or people who are going to be moderates or people who are going to toe the party line. So, you know, there's a lot of approaches to who they'd appoint.
Does that make any difference as far as transparency later down the road, do you think? Do you think the members themselves will try to come to a decision as far as how transparent the process will be, or do you think a lot of that will be dictated by the leadership on both sides of the Hill?
Well, the Senate leadership has been quiet so far, and I wouldn't be surprised if they don't say a whole lot. That's just kind of typical from Senate leaders that aren't big proponents of transparency necessarily, because of how the Senate works. But I think what we're going to see is that as all the rest of the members realize that they're not being appointed and they're being shut out of such an important process that their constituents count or care about, they're going to realize that transparency is in their interest, because unless your senator or your representative is on this committee, you are not represented in that process. So it makes it far more important to understand what they're doing and who's lobbying or contributing to their campaigns.
The essence of this is trying to understand or foresee what will happen to the executive branch agencies, because that's where the $1.2 trillion or more, if that's what they're able to agree to, are essentially going to come from.
It's certainly a concern to find out where it's going to happen.
Yeah. Is there a message there? Are there maybe markers that we can look for when it comes to transparency that might indicate one direction or another? Or is there still so much of this that we don't know what we don't know to be able to try to figure any of that out?
Well, it's going to be tricky. I mean, some of my colleagues at Sunlight are looking into the profiles of all the people that have been appointed. I'm sure other news organizations are going to do the same thing, to look at things like campaign contributions or committee membership or where people's interests have fallen down before. But it's a big number that they have to come up with, and whether or not revenues are on the table and what they take a look at is going to determine where it goes. But, I mean, it could really be anything that they end up with.